Radio Prague News.
A Czech soldier has died from serious injuries sustained in Afghanistan. Former Czech President Václav Havel has been awarded Georgia's highest state honor. In a pre-recorded greeting, Burmese dissident Aung San Suu Kyi asked participants at Forum 2000 in Prague to express support for the Burmese opposition. The Czech soldier died on Sunday, succumbing to serious injuries sustained during a mission in Afghanistan. Sergeant Adrian Werner of the 2nd Operational Mentor Liaison Team was shot on a July 6th attack on a Czech advance post in the Taliban-controlled Wardak province. It was the 31-year-old's third mission abroad. Previously, he had served as an instructor for Afghan Army soldiers and did two tours of duty in Kosovo. Sergeant Werner was the fifth Czech soldier to lose his life in the ISAF mission, in which more than 7,000 Czechs have served over the last 10 years. Former Czech President Václav Havel has received the Order of St. George, Georgia's highest state honor. He was decorated by visiting Georgian President Mikhail Saakashvili on Monday, who cited Mr. Havel's influence and contribution in the democratization process of post-communist countries. The honor was awarded at the Georgian embassy in Prague. After the ceremony, Václav Havel expressed the hope that Georgia would see its historic borders restored, reference to the 2008 armed conflict between Georgia and Russia and the separatist republics of South Ossetia and Abkhazia. Mr. Saakashvili is in Prague to take part in the 15th Forum 2000 conference. Burmese dissident Aung San Suu Kyi asked Forum 2000 participants to support the Burmese opposition in a pre-recorded greeting a few minutes in length that former Czech president and human rights supporter Václav Havel presented at the start of the conference on Monday. Aung San Suu Kyi said she is cautiously optimistic about possible changes in Burma, but stressed that the situation in her country is far from satisfactory. The Nobel Peace Prize winner was released from house arrest last November, shortly after the isolated Burmese regime staged the first elections in 20 years. The previous elections in 1990 were won by the National League for Democracy, headed by Suu Kyi. The junta, however, refused to hand over power, and she spent 15 years under house arrest. In other news, Prague City Hall is considering citing Alphonse Mucha's Slavic epic cycle in the historic Fanta building at Prague's main station, a plan reportedly backed by the late painter's grandson, John Mucha. The news was revealed by the spokesman for the Mucha Foundation on Monday. The Art Nouveau building, formerly a booking hall and now a café, was put forward as a location in a study commissioned by Prague Mayor Bohuslav Svoboda. The idea is also reportedly receiving backing from the firm responsible for the renovation of Prague's main station, Grand Stazione. The company spokesman called the plan an interesting one, suggesting that if it went ahead, the famous paintings could be housed in their new home in early 2014, soon after renovations of the historic site are completed. A photograph by Stanislav Krupaš capturing racial unrest in northern Bohemia has won the 2011 Czech Press Photo Competition. The jury called the winning work a strong example of photojournalism that brought attention to a serious contemporary social problem not confined to the Czech Republic. In addition to the Crystal Eye Award, the winner of the Czech Press Photo receives a 120,000 crown prize. I'm Jan Velinger, and that's the end of the news.
This is Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, with me, Peter Smith. The 15th Forum 2000 conference is underway in Prague, and this year's theme is democracy and the rule of law. Many high-profile guests will be in attendance, and we'll be looking ahead to a gathering now as seemingly traditional as Czech beer and dumplings. However, something not quite as traditional is sharing a workspace with other freelancers. And in this week's one-on-one, Ian Willoughby talks to Jakub Mareš, the Prague businessman who set up The Hub. There's also a roundup of the sport and another chance to learn Czech phrases through music. You're tuned to Radio Prague. The 15th annual Forum 2000 conference, which brings together world thinkers, former and present politicians, and other public figures, was officially launched in Prague on Sunday by its founder, the former Czech president, Václav Havel. In their discussions, over 120 delegates, including the Georgian President Mikhail Saakashvili, the President of Kosovo Atefete Yahyaga, and the US economist Josef Stiglitz, will focus primarily on this year's main theme, which is democracy and the rule of law. Pavla Horakova reports.
How does a democratic society ensure the balance between individual freedom and the rule of law? How does it tackle organized crime and corruption? These are some of the questions the three-day annual Forum 2000 conference will seek answers to on Monday and Tuesday. The opening speeches were given on Sunday night at the Prague Crossroads Center by the founders of the conference, former Czech President Václav Havel, and the Japanese philanthropist Yohei Sasakawa. On Monday morning, Mr. Havel opened the first working session by introducing a recorded message from the Burmese opposition politician Aung San Suu Kyi.
It is truly providential that the topic for this year's Forum 2000 is rule of law.
On Monday, the topic of rule of law was also addressed by U.S. economist and Nobel Prize laureate Joseph Stiglitz.
Everybody's in favor, in some sense, of a rule of law. The question is, what kind of rule of law? How do we construct it? How do we make sure that we actually have a just rule of law? Rules of law can be used to maintain injustice, inequities.
Former President of Ghana, John Kufuor, approached the topic from the perspective of Africa, as he put it.
I want to challenge thought leaders around the world to rise to the advocacy of the institution of freedom through democratic constitutions everywhere. Common humanity must supersede race, culture, religion, wealth and gender in such a constitution.
The international guests from the fields of politics, business, science and religion, together with some 3,000 observers, will continue their panel debates and roundtables at several venues around Prague until Tuesday, discussing globalization, the environment, religion and business, as well as the role of social networking sites in the Arab revolutions. The official beginning of the conference was marked by a rally by several dozen opponents of Kosovo independence who gathered outside the Prague Crossroads on Sunday night to protest against the presence of Kosovo President Atefete Yahyaga, citing organized crime and the breaching of international resolutions in the youngest European state.
That was Pavla Horakova with that report of the Forum 2000 conference. There'll be more of that, of course, here on Radio Prague. Moving on, though, it's time for Monday's sport. And here with a roundup is Christian Falvey.
Josef Vanja confirmed once again his legendary position in Czech horse racing on Sunday with his eighth victory in the premier steeplechase, the Velká Pardubická. It was the third consecutive win for the 58-year-old jockey and for 10-year-old Tumen, a thoroughbred bay horse trained by Vanja himself. While they may well be the greatest duo in Czech racing, victory was by no means guaranteed this year, with Vanja and Tumen one hoof away from catastrophe in the track's most difficult obstacle, the big Taxis fence. Later he told a press conference about the setback.
I think one of the horses intersected us, and so Tumen was forced to dart left, and on that side was a horse that was having problems with clearing the obstacles. So Tumen landed right on the edge of the ditch, but he managed to make it, and luckily I didn't fall. I have to see the video, because I'm not entirely sure what happened.
That stumble on that notorious fourth obstacle, a 5-meter jump that has claimed the lives of 27 horses in the past, put Human at the back of the pack, and Vanja himself suffered a foot injury on the 18th of the 31 obstacle course. But for all that, it seems Human's elder stablemate, 16, running her best race of the season, was the biggest obstacle of all.
We took the 19th jump, and he started to languish on me a bit. I thought I might have pushed him a bit too hard, but then we got to the woods, and that was his domain. And when we came to the second to the last jump, we were in the same place as last year and the year before, and I thought it might not be too bad. but I could still see that white monster of ours on the right-hand side jumping perfectly and running like she'd been shot out of a catapult. And I thought we'd never catch her. But Tuman is simply our best racer on this distance.
That white monster finished half a length away from a third steeplechase victory of her own. The 11-year-old mare, also trained by Vanya, won the Velka Pardubitska in 2007 and 2008, and with this she retires from the track. And as for Josef Vanya, whether he will be back in the saddle next year or not depends on someone else altogether.
Pár dnů před dostihem jsem mluvil s Karlem Gottem osobně a on říká, že by přišel, ale že má nějaký...
A few days ago, I talked to Karel Gott in person, and he said he wanted to come, but there was a concert he couldn't get out of. But he said that if I race next year, he'd clear his schedule for the second Sunday in October right away. So if he comes, then I'll try to race, but I can't guarantee it.
That was eight-time champion of the Velká Pardubická steeplechase, Josef Vanya. The Czech national football squad played its second-to-last match in qualifying for next year's European Championship, hosted by Ukraine and Poland. On Friday, the team faced Group 1 leader Spain, the reigning European and world champions, at Sparta's stadium at Letná, but the difference in the team's play was enormous. Spain combined passes and set up opportunities with ease, scoring twice in the first half on goals from Juan Mata and Javi Alonso. That was also the way the match ended, 2-0, a disappointing but not unexpected result for the Czech squad. The loss means that the Czech team has now slipped to third spot in Group 1, a point behind Scotland, who defeated Liechtenstein 1-0 on Saturday. The Czechs are confident they can win or at least draw in Lithuania this Tuesday to regain the initiative and the hopes of a playoff berth. For the Czechs, a win or a draw would be enough to finish second in the group unless Scotland shockingly defeats Spain in their final game, a result that would put the European Championship beyond the Czechs' reach. In tennis, then, a major win for Tomáš Berdych, who took his sixth ever ATP title at the weekend in the China Open. The Czech was none too impressive going into Sunday's finals match in Beijing against 23-year-old Marin Cilic. Berdych's serve was broken by the Croat in the very first game, and he went on to lose the first set 3-6. In the second, however, he was back with a vengeance and quickly regained control, finishing the set 6-4. The third set then was Berdych's altogether, with six games to Cilic's one.
Yes, just one hoof from tragedy. That was a Christian Falvey there with the sport. This is Radio Prague. It's time now for our interview programme, One-on-One. And in today's programme, which was first broadcast earlier this year, Ian Willoughby speaks to Jakub Mareš, one of the operators of a new co-working space in Prague called The Hub.
Jakub Mareš is one of the operators of The Hub, Prague's biggest co-working centre. They're a new kind of shared working environment, where people whose main tool is their notebook computer can rent a desk by the day or even by the hour. Located in a former printing factory in the Smíchov district, The Hub features a large open office space, meeting rooms, a bar and lounge area, and even a summer terrace. When we spoke there recently, I asked Jakub Mareš why he and his colleagues had launched the project in Prague, and why now.
We opened Hub in Prague because we think that there are more and more people working as freelancers, working with their brains, let's say, with their laptop, and just traveling between clients and between their homes. So I think this is the right time for such a center to be opened in Prague.
Typically, who are the people who come here who use Hub?
The typical user is, let's say, 25 to 35 years old. He or she is working in the field like IT consulting, HR consulting, headhunting, creative industries, and such branches.
Do people come here as individuals or with colleagues?
Most people come to Hub as individuals, let's say 75%. And the rest are coming here like startups of two or more people.
This is a relatively new idea, not only in the Czech Republic, but I think internationally. Was it hard at the beginning to explain the idea to people?
You are right, this is quite a new idea. The idea came into being in London, let's say, five years ago. I'd say in the beginning it's quite difficult to explain what's behind it. The main reason is meeting people and working in inspirative environment. But I think people are getting more and more used to it, and now it doesn't take very long to explain the whole thing.
Was there any resistance at the beginning, or was there anything in particular that people found hard to get used to?
When we started this project, some people told us that this Czech environment is quite close. That means that when you are starting your own business, you are usually scared that somebody steals the idea from you or something. But we are sure that more and more people are open. That means that they get over this obstacle, and we don't see it that serious as some people saw it when we started.
I know you have various different tariffs, as you call them. It's a bit like when you have a mobile phone contract, and they vary from 5 hours a month for 12 or 13 euros a month to unlimited access for about 150 euros a month. What is the most popular tariff here?
Most people have tariff of 25 to 50 hours a month. That means that they use it, let's say, 1 to 2 days a week. The other days they are usually at their clients or they work from home.
You have around 15 desks here, I think, about 50 chairs. Is somebody guaranteed a place if they come? Say, for example, if all of the people who've signed up come at 9 o'clock on a Monday morning, will they all get a seat?
The number of seats is it's calculated based on experience from foreign hubs, and it can never happen that all the 54 chairs would be occupied. If it would see that we are reaching the point, we would add chairs or tables, but it's not the point this time.
I was surprised when I first came here recently to hear music playing. I'd like to have music in my office, but only if I could choose it. How do you select what kind of music you play here?
We try to select music that's, let's say, neutral, no very distinct style. So we use this music, but we don't like to play it too loudly. It's really in the background. And the reason for music is that when there's a very, very quiet environment, some people don't like to talk to their colleagues because it may sound disturbing. So that's why we have music in background.
And what about rules? Do you have a way of preventing people from making too much noise or doing antisocial things?
The main thing about rules in this space is relying on common sense of people. That means there are practically no written rules about the voices you can use here and about other things. We rely on that people know what to do and what not. If somebody, for example, is calling on the phone too loudly, we can tell him to use the phone box or to use other space for it, but it doesn't happen very often.
You're advertising for the hub stresses the idea that people can interact and generate ideas between one another. How much does that actually happen?
The thing connected with like making contacts between people that didn't know each other before they have come to hub, it needs time to develop. That means that when you come here, you need some weeks, usually people need some weeks to know the environment, and then they can meet other members, let's say during the common lunch we have every Wednesday or during the afternoon coffee we have every Monday. So all the members have the possibility to make connections between other members, and some of them are using it quite actively.
But to date, I guess you've been open for 6 months or so, to date, have there been any projects that originated here at the hub?
Yeah, there are about 3 or 4 projects that we supported to come into being. And these were projects focused on, let's say, socially responsible entrepreneurship. And this project came into being in the hub during a special event.
And could you tell us more about this event and other events that you have here, I know, in the evenings?
There are two types of events. One type of event is the one that's being organized by other company, other organization than us. They simply rent the space and make the event. And the second type of event, these are our events or the events we are doing with partners. Typically, we organize so-called mashup. And mashup is a very popular event during which 15 interesting projects show what they are doing, and they simply introduce their ideas to many people in one moment.
I know you yourself work here. How do you find it as an experience? I mean, I think I'd be personally distracted to see different people every day, different people sitting in different places. I think I might find it hard to concentrate.
The matter of concentration, it depends on your ability to get used to it. Sometimes people divide their time when they need to do something which really requires quiet environment and concentration. They work from home, but they come here to get another ideas. That means to get inspired by different environment, to get inspired by other people around them working, and to simply get different air and different inspiration for their projects. That's how it works in my case as well.
This may be a silly question, but I guess in every working environment, romances blossom. Have you seen people getting together here where there's a high turnover of people?
I can't say that this would be a typical environment for it, but in all environment, as you say, where many people are changing, going through, and people are working there all day, I think it's also possible to serve this purpose unintentionally, of course.
I understand that in Prague now there are three or four of these kind of co-working centers, although yours is bigger. Do you foresee in the future that we will have many more such places?
I think that the idea of co-working is spreading in the cities of Europe. There are more co-working spaces in Western European countries, Western European cities. So I guess that the number of co-working space will grow gradually. But this is a new market, and it's always difficult to say whether it applies the same rules.
And what about the plans of your own company, The Hub?
Our plans are focused on spreading the idea around this country in future, in a horizon of, let's say, two, three, four years. We would like to open new hubs in another big cities, which means Brno and Ostrava.
That was One on One here on Radio Prague, and it was Jakub Marek in conversation with my colleague Ian Willoughby. Time though now here on Radio Prague to learn some Czech through music. Here's Daniela Lazarová with Soundcheck.
Welcome to another edition of Soundcheck, Radio Prague's Czech language series in which you can learn new phrases with the help of song lyrics. Our song today is sung by Hanna Zagorová and is called Sliby Chyby, and that is the phrase to look out for. Sliby chyby is a popular Czech saying made up of two words, promises, mistakes. In other words, it is unwise to make rash promises, or as Czechs say, slibovat hory doly, to promise mountains and valleys. You can also promise to deliver the skies in the phrase snést někomu modré z nebe, meaning that you will bring the blue color of the sky down to earth for someone. A mistake to make the promise, and an even bigger one to take it seriously.
Vím, že jsou slipy chyby stále jen, slipy chyby jako sen, konejší nic víc.
Someone who makes a habit of making rash promises and never keeping them is often labelled a slibotechna, which is something like a workshop for promises. Many a politician has been called a slibotechna by the press, with remarks such as Nikdo vám nedá tolik, kolik my vám slíbíme. Nobody will give you half as much as we will promise you. Another phrase you will come across quite often is slíbil mnoho, ale skutek utek, meaning he talked a lot but didn't walk the walk, or as some say, he was all mouth but no trousers. If you've been fooled by someone's promise, you can say naleděl jsem, meaning I fell for it, although the literal translation would be I flew for it. Do it too often and Czechs will tell you sliby se slibují, blázni se radují, meaning promises are made and fools are happy. And finally, the expression sliby chyby is the closest you can get to the English promises, promises. So if you doubt someone's promise of mountains and valleys or the blue sky, the proper response is sliby chyby. This is Daniela Lazarová saying thanks for learning Czech with me and naschledanou.
Yes, it's another one of those Czech singers with legendární status there. Legendary. That is, of course, Hanna Zagorová, rounding off Radio Prague and Soundcheck, indeed, for today. It's a bit of a drizzly, bit of a mucky day in the Czech capital weather-wise. I hope it's better where you are. Anyway, until next time, from me, Peter Smith. Take care.